Well, let us turn together in our Bibles now to Psalm 125. As I just mentioned, this psalm turns our attention from the past of Psalm 124 to the future. It's basically answering for us some questions. How am I going to be brought safely through this pilgrim journey? And as you listen to the reading of the Word, I want you to pay attention to the promises contained therein, promises of God's protection. Let's give our careful attention once again to the reading of God's holy Word, Psalm 125. A song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people, from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. There's a man named Scott Stossel who is the editor of the Atlantic magazine. He wrote a book in recent years called My Age of Anxiety. The subtitle is Fear, Hope, Dread, and the Peace of Mind. This man set out to write a book to prove that we live in the most anxious time period of all history. Interestingly, what he found was that every age has made the same claim. We face all sorts of anxieties in our modern culture. But every culture has said we live in the most anxious time period. The conclusion that Stossel reaches is that it's not that we have any less anxieties now or any less anxieties in any other culture, but rather that this is a constant of the human condition. He should have read the book of Ecclesiastes. There is nothing new under the sun. So, not too surprisingly, Stossel's book ends with this lament of the problematic unsettledness of life. We know that this unsettledness is a result of the fall. Adam and Eve were the only two to live and experience that harmony that our souls long for. They had that brief time before the fall in which everything was perfect. Husband and wife interacted with one another in perfect harmony. These two creatures walked with their God in perfect peace. There was no anxiety. But then once sin entered, peace fled and anxiety took its place. Eliphaz said to Job, "Man is born to trouble." Our lives are uncertain. They can change in a moment. Our lives are full of worries. Parents have children and begin to worry about their children, and children grow, and as they grow, they begin to worry about their parents. As soon as one anxiety is relieved, another is ready to take its place. And we know that the Christian life is not something that delivers us from the trials and the troubles of this world. We've noted recently that Jesus promised us in this life you will have tribulation. The book of Revelation speaks of our experience in this life as the sufferings. So how are we to then live in light of what we know we will be facing? Becoming a Christian does not deliver you from the trials and the troubles that produce anxiety. But becoming a Christian does bring the promise of the peace of Christ. And that's what we see here in Psalm 125. In Psalm 124, the psalmist extols God's glory for past deliverances. But then in Psalm 125, faith rises to a confident joy in the present and future security that is found in the Lord. So though our lives seem to constantly teeter on the edge of uncertainty, this psalm teaches us that those who trust in the Lord are secure. And as I say almost with every sermon, this is a matter of faith and not by sight. We need to hear the Word of God and what it says is true of us, because our circumstances will speak another word. Well, let's consider these five truths that are true about those who are trusting in the Lord. You can see there are five listed there, at least begun for you on the back of your bulletin. Look at those strong verbs used that God says is true about you tonight. So here's the first. Those who trust in the Lord are established like Mount Zion. If you are trusting in Christ tonight, you are established like Mount Zion. I wish that we had a time-lapse video, something that you've all seen in our modern world, that time-lapse video that just hurries along the busyness of a city and it shows everyone running around like little ants and you can watch a year in a matter of minutes. Well, I wish we had a time-lapse video focused upon Mount Zion throughout all of history. What would that look like? You would see changing seasons. You would see the coming and going of different weather patterns. You would see the rise and fall and rise of different populations. You would see times of war. You would see times of peace. You would see development and industry and expansion. You would see any number of things. But what else would you see? You would see Mount Zion standing there, fixed because God placed it there. And though all these other things are changing around it, some of them seeming to threaten it, it cannot be moved. It abides forever. Well, did you hear what the Word of God says is true of you if you trust in the Lord? You are like Mount Zion. You cannot be moved. You will abide forever. Now, to be clear, this doesn't mean that you will always feel immovable. In Psalm 73, Asaph speaks about how he felt like he was about to fall away. He had envied the wicked. He saw that in this life they prospered while he had trial. And he envied them. And he says because of how he envied them, his foot had almost slipped. From his human perspective, he saw that if it were up to him, he would have fallen away. But later, as he confesses in Psalm 73, once he gained his understanding that came from going to the worship of God, and he saw that it was the wicked that God placed in slippery places. It is the wicked that God makes to fall into ruin, who are destroyed in a moment, who are swept away utterly by terrors. It was in seeing that contrast, that Asaph was then held by God. He said that he was constantly guided by God's counsel throughout his entire life. So though you may have feelings that ebb and flow, The Word of God says that if you trust in the Lord, you are like Mount Zion. You cannot be moved. If you trust in the Lord, this immovable state, as the psalmist says there in verse 1, lasts forever. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Now, what is anxiety about life but that inner turmoil of the soul that senses that all will not be well? Well, what greater comfort can there be than having the sovereign God of the whole universe, the maker of heaven and earth, speaking this word to you? You will abide forever. Again, going back to that idea of that time-lapse video, if there was one pointed to your life on this earth is going to show changing seasons. It's going to show peacetime and wartime and all other myriads of changes. But because God is faithful, you are immovable. Because God is faithful, you will abide forever. Now, there's a beauty in the simplicity of what the psalmist says. All that you need to do to be this immovable is to trust in the Lord. Our human flesh, though, I think, would often still want to respond with our own circumstances by saying something like, "Yeah, but what about this? You don't know my circumstances. You don't know the pressures that I face." Again, that is the beauty of the Word of God. It speaks positively to us. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. You cannot be moved. You will abide forever. This simple statement is comprehensive. It encompasses the entirety of your life. No matter the hardships that will come into your life, God has promised. He is faithful. Now, what is it that threatens your life more than sin and death and condemnation that came to you in Adam? Well, trusting in the Lord, you are delivered from sin, death, and condemnation by that righteousness of Jesus Christ. His life, His death, His resurrection are yours. And so, because you have been united to Him and He abides forever, you too will abide forever. Looking back upon that time lapse of our own lives, we're going to see and give praise to God that we were established upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. Well, the psalmist gives us more imagery. Look at verse 2. Those who trust in the Lord are surrounded by God. He says, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever." Growing up here in the Front Range of Colorado, whenever I travel somewhere else, I feel like something is missing. The mountains are not there to look over my shoulder and to watch over all that I do. Well, the psalmist uses that same sort of imagery. He speaks of the mountains that surround Jerusalem. These mountains that protected that city of God and provided safety. It's interesting to me that God takes something so close to the experience of God's people and He says, "I surround you like this." We might put it in our terms, just like these mountains here watch over all that we do, so does our God. We should attach to viewing these mountains the realization that the God who created those mountains is the one who is watching over us, the one who is surrounding us so that we might be safe. Now, once again, we must hear the Word of God with faith. God at times can seem distant, and the threats of the world can seem all too near. But we need to hear the promise of God. For those who trust in God, He surrounds you as the mountains surround Jerusalem. Your help is in the Lord. Psalm 33 says, "The Lord is our help and shield." Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea." God promises to surround you, even as these mountains remain constantly watchful over us. And just to be clear, the psalmist adds the duration of this surrounding, from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord's promise to surround you transforms your greatest suffering in this life into how you will enter His presence forever. God will surround you forever. And so in that hardest moment, that moment before we take our last breath, where it is hard to walk by faith because our bodies are giving way, God even turns that moment into a time of His faithfulness, because it escorts you into His presence where you will see how He surrounds you. Now that addresses eternity. Well, what about this life? Let's go on to the third one there. Those who trust in the Lord are guarded by God's promise. The psalm does not promise you peace and prosperity in this life. It actually has the expectation of a very different life. The wicked will at times reign over us. And is that not true of our experience right now? While we as the church presently enjoy much peace and prosperity, and we are to pray for that and we are to give thanks for that, it's not as though the godly are reigning over us. If you look at the trajectory of our culture, it seems as though only more trial and more challenge lie ahead. For our young people with us tonight, that's why this promise is so important. You might look out into our culture and recognize where the world seems, at least our culture here in the United States, where it seems to be heading, and that could produce in you fear. The ungodly reign over us currently, and unless the Lord acts, it seems as though they will continue to reign over us. But did you hear the promise that God gave you in verse 3? Let me read it for you. "For the scepter of wickedness shall not reign on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong." We can rest in this promise. The wicked, though they reign, they only reign for a time. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 2. This is a related psalm that speaks of God's reign, of Christ's reign. And you need to know this psalm because it teaches you of how Jesus Christ as king relates to the lesser kings of this world. Let me read the psalm for you. "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.'" There the psalmist says that the kings of this earth conspire together against God. Listen to what happens next. "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.'" I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise and be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Psalm 2 is a commentary on verse 3 of Psalm 125. Though ungodly rulers reign over us now, they will not reign forever. And God promises you that so that you do not sin, so that you do not grow weary under their reign, but rather that you look to Christ and His reign, recognizing that it is His reign that limits their reign. So that teaches us how we are to live. Spurgeon said it this way, "The people of God are not to expect immunity from trial because the Lord surrounds them, but God has set a limit to the woes of His chosen. The saints will abide forever, their troubles will not." Never forget who reigns. Again, if we were to live by sight, we would think that Christ does not reign. But we know, because God has told us in His Word, that Christ reigns. And you can only be established and surrounded forever because Christ reigns as King. And boys and girls, as you face a longer time on this life than some of us, you need to have this promise at the ready, as ungodly men rule in this world. It is limited by Christ's reign. He is the one who will call them to account. Well, not only does God guard us by His promise in this life regarding who reigns, but He also, and this is number 4, He arms us with prayer. So those who trust in the Lord are armed with prayer. Verse 4 is a prayer of the psalmist. God gives us this prayer that we might pray to God. God provides His people with a prayer that I don't think any one of us would have written. We might hesitate to pray this if it weren't given to us as a prayer. Look at verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. I don't think if any of us were writing a prayer that we would refer to ourselves, at least we would at least hesitate to do so, as those who are good and those who are upright in heart. Are you uncomfortable praying such a prayer? Do good to those who are good? You might think, well, that excludes me. Do good to those who are upright? Are you uncomfortable referring to yourself as one who is upright in heart? Well, this prayer forces us to reckon with who we really are. This is a prayer that God would regard us and treat us according to who we are in Christ. We're not asking for God to deal with us in relationship to our experience as we fall into sin, but rather in terms of who we are as we are united to Jesus Christ. He is good, you are good. He is upright in heart, you are upright in heart. And at the same time then, this prayer consoles us by giving us a God-authored prayer. As children grow, a parent will coach their children with how to ask appropriately for things. We teach our children, this is how you are to ask for this good thing that you desire. And why does a parent coach a child in that way? Because they're already ready to give it to them. That's what God is doing for us here in verse 4. He's saying, here, this is how you are to pray to me, because I'm ready to answer. I'm ready to do good to you. Pray to me in this way. Well, finally, those who trust in the Lord are guarded by God's pronouncement. We see this in verse 5. This might be a little bit surprising for us. When the godly suffer in this life, temptation comes seeking us to turn our own way. That was Asaph's experience in Psalm 73. Again, when he compared his life to that of the wicked, he almost fell away because they prospered and he suffered. No matter how hard he tried to make sense of what he perceived, he couldn't do it. But just as we read here in verse 5, God had provided Asaph with a warning by way of his understanding of the wicked. When Asaph went into the sanctuary of God, there he was warned because he saw that God set the wicked in slippery places, that they were swept away in a moment. Well, that's what God does for us in verse 5. He gives us this warning to guard us. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Is it not the case that when we face trial, we are all the more tempted to turn to our own ways? That's when temptation comes in full force, saying, if only you'll take this sinful way out, then things will get better. You don't deserve to suffer in this way. It's not fair. You shouldn't have to put up with this. All the while, temptation is saying, turn to your own way. Turn away from God. Turn to your own way. And at first glance, this warning might seem contradictory to our security. But every parent knows that their warnings to their children are aimed at the protection of their children. That's why we warn. It's because we love our children and we want them to stay safe. That's why God gives us warnings like this in the Scripture, because they keep us on the right path. They guard us from turning to our own way. So those who trust in the Lord are established by God. They will abide forever. They will abide forever because they are surrounded by God, just like the mountains surround Jerusalem. They are guarded by God's promises. They are guarded by God's warning. And we are then armed with prayer. The psalmist summarizes all of this with those final four words of verse 5. Peace be upon Israel. We can summarize this psalm this way. Those who trust in the Lord shall have peace. Not peace in the sense of the absence of trial and conflict. Not in the absence of trouble. But peace in knowing God. That is where peace comes from. Peace from knowing that God is their God. God is your God and you are His people. That is the kind of peace that we have. It's in knowing that your ultimate deliverance is guaranteed. And as we look upon the rest of our pilgrim days, what more could we ask for than to have that guarantee of our deliverance? Our deliverance is secure because it rests in God. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we do thank you for giving us your holy word and for the promises that it contains. We do pray that as we face various trials, we even anticipate beginning a new week, which will inevitably bring different circumstances, trial, and trouble. But Father, as we have heard tonight, true peace comes in knowing You. And we ask that You would help us to be those who flee to You in our troubles, that we might find peace throughout our pilgrim journey. Not a peace that is the absence of trial, but a peace that surpasses understanding even in the midst of trial. Give us this peace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.